This is Sex Crazy here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. This segment of the show looks at the craziest anti-sex and overwhelmingly anti-gay comments made during the previous week. Now, this is a segment that has become increasingly more difficult and time-consuming to do every Monday. And the reason is not because it's hard to find the material, it's because there is such a huge mountain of material that weeding it down is very time-consuming. I mean, just this week alone, I probably looked at 50 stories I could have used. And I could go down, and I only have time for a few. Otherwise, this would be like an hour segment every week, which I don't want to do. So here's what we've got. It's just a small selection of what's going on out there. On Fox News, the commentator Todd Starnes had a guest, Tony Perkins, from the Family Research Council, the infamous Tony Perkins, and they wanted to talk about anti-Christian prosecution. The story is about a junior high school student who had to take off her Virginity Rocks t-shirt because it violated the school's dress code. That was an attack against Christianity, ignoring the fact that it isn't just Christians who promote abstinence. Okay, the girl's got guts to wear a shirt like that to school, but nonetheless, I understand why schools don't want people wearing advocacy t-shirts of any type and would have a ban on them. That makes perfect sense to me. Now, this is in Arkansas, where they do have a lot of abstinence education, so as far as I know, the school could have been teaching abstinence in their sex classes. Don't know. But the show's host, Todd Starnes, saw a much more nefarious plot going on, and I'm quoting him. Here's my take on it. I thought it was interesting. The student's mom said what's really interesting is that any child in that junior high school can go to the counselor's office and ask for and receive free condoms, and yet her daughter cannot wear her pro-abstinence t-shirt in the public school. Here's what I think the issue is, Tony Perkins. I believe that maybe they were concerned this pro-abstinence t-shirt might cut into the school's condom profits. You know, I always thought that people on the right at least studied economics a little bit. They're very pro-capitalism. And yet, time and time again, they look at non-profit organizations, organizations that give things away for free, and rail at them for having some kind of plot to make a profit. Even though they're non-profit, they don't make a profit. Schools don't make money giving condoms away for free. There is no economic model in which you give condoms away for free and you make a bunch of money. It kind of doesn't work that way. Jody Heiss is the Georgia GOP U.S. House nominee, and he has his own radio program, where he said this, "As we have removed prayer and Bible and our Christian heritage from our public school, what has been the counter consequence?" I guess the elimination of using plural in any of our sentences. He went on to say, "Has behavior increased or decreased? Has education gotten better or worse? Have our overall citizenship, our citizenry, have we become a better place to live or a worse place to live? Is there more drugs or less? More gang violence or less? More teenage pregnancy or less? More promiscuity or less?" Actually, here's the good news. Teen pregnancy is down. And it went down, it seems, more as a result of the decrease of abstinence-only education than because of an increase in prayer in the schools. Oh, and the rate of sexual activity among teens has also dropped. These both have been occurring over the past two decades. And violent crime in the U.S. is at the lowest rate right now in 40 years. Ohio State Representative Matt Lynch made an interesting comparison. He said that the issues of ISIS beheading journalists and civilians in Syria and Iraq is not dissimilar to the practice of legal abortion in Ohio. He said, "As a nation, as we're aroused literally to move heaven and earth to combat this evil on the other side of the world, somehow we're blind and we're silent to the 20,000 plus deaths that are occurring, 70 a day, right here in the state of Ohio. We have to have the courage to understand that the moral right against evil in the Mideast is no different than the moral fight against evil right here in the state of Ohio, and that evil is abortion." At the same time, of course, He opposes making affordable contraception available to women through their insurance. How you can hold both of those ideas in your head at the same time doesn't make sense, but it does make you sex crazy. And for our Nazi comparison for the week, we turn to Matt Staver and Matt Barber from their show, and they've been going on about this before, but they have been getting increasingly incomprehensible as they go on. Now they're comparing the contraception mandate to Nazi gas chambers. Here's how Matt Staver explained it on the Faith and Freedom radio show. He said, "If you are being forced to pay for the gas in the chamber that is injected into that chamber to kill a Jew, that's one thing. On the other hand, if you are required to say, you go right, you go left, the ones that go to the left, they go to the gas chamber, you don't have to pay for that, but you have to make the decision to do it, it's the same thing. Whether I have to exchange a dollar or $10 or $1,000 to facilitate the death of a human being, or whether I have to say, I can't do it, I can't pull the trigger, so therefore don't make me pull the trigger. Consequently, since I've objected, now a third party has to pull the trigger. There's no difference." Matt Barber interjected to perhaps clarify that a little bit. He said that those who object are still being forced to be complicit in that abortion homicide, which is exactly what President Obama wants, because he in large part lives his life to enable people to kill others. Let me remind you again that they're talking about the contraception mandate, which does not include any abortion. Now, there are some far right-wing groups that are claiming that it includes abortion. Some of these things are abortion, but they are not abortion by the way we define abortion. And you don't get just to make up stuff. Their interpretation of abortion is becoming so extreme that anything that interferes with you getting pregnant is the same thing as an abortion. That's where they're headed. That's why it doesn't make any sense. So to clarify, what Matt Barber and Matt Staver are really saying is women using contraception is like sending Jews to the gas chamber. That's how extreme and sex crazy these two are. Okay, this week, can we find a nice transition from abortion rights into gay rights? Yes, we can. Thanks to Linda Harvey and Molly Smith. Molly Smith is the director of Cleveland Right to Life, and Linda Harvey is essentially a batshit crazy anti-gay activist. And no, I don't know why batshit makes you crazy. Their argument was that, and you may have a little difficulty following this, is that LGBT rights lead to a greater incidence of abortion. Here's what Linda Harvey had to say. "The Planned Parenthood and anti-life lobby is heavily imbued and connected to homosexuality. They're in favor of opening up the doors and spreading the boundaries of sexuality all across the board. That includes homosexuality. The lines are very blurred, and unless you stand strong on this issue, you're going to see much more, and you do see much more, out of wedlock sexuality and then, of course, more abortion." But wait, if the gay rights are successful and they convert all these people to gay stuff, then they can have out-of-wedlock sexuality, and they really don't ever need to use abortion. So maybe you guys should be picking a side, root for the gay rights and reduce abortion, maybe. Expecting Linda Harvey to make sense, though, would be a bit foolish. She always gives us plenty of material. She is head of Mission America, where apparently her mission is to give us material every Monday to use. There's a bit of a regular on Molly Smith's show. And she said that LGBT youth centers are in fact homosexual sex centers where kids are being preyed upon by older homosexuals and contracting HIV. She said, "The things that go on in the bathrooms of those centers, it's unbelievable. It's everything you can imagine." What I can't imagine is Linda Harvey ever going into one of those bathrooms, and if she did, I'm kind of wondering why she did. She continued, "Social service agencies donate money because, again, it's considered a youth center. No, it's a homosexual sex center, and kids should not be involved in this." What are you saying? It should only be open to people like you? Then she went on to complain about anti-bullying programs in school. She doesn't like them because they tell children that people are born homosexual, and she believes that's a lie. Here's what she said. "There's no such thing as a gay person. There are people with those attractions and preferences, but not intrinsically. And those behaviors are immoral and harmful. So are they ever going to tell children that? I would hope so. But these bullying programs are pretty weak on the whole picture. So she doesn't want anti-bullying programs. She wants bullying programs that tell kids, yeah, there's a good reason why you should be attacked. Barbed Wire was a bad movie with Pamela Anderson, and it's also an absolutely crazy website, which is working to give WorldNet Daily a run for the money on the crazy. Walid Shobed had an article today on Barbed Wire that equates ISIS with the homosexual agenda. Here's what he wrote. ISIS is truly the manifestation of the purest form of the homosexual agenda, sodomizing men as both torture and pleasure, and killing those who disagree with them. I just don't see a lot of gay people killing heterosexual people, because they don't like gay people. It sort of seems to work the other way around with hundreds and hundreds of incidences. I suppose maybe you could find one, maybe even two, but for the most part, I don't see gay people attacking straight people. They're under risk of attack themselves on a daily basis. We chronicle on this segment on a regular basis, the dehumanizing and hateful and rage-filled anti-gay stuff that is spewed from people all the time, stuff that would certainly encourage violence against gay people. Those on the gay side try to equate that with gay people saying, hey, stop discriminating against me. To them, when gays do that, that's horrible and vicious and violent. Scott Lively, a man who has been traveling the world, literally encouraging some of the most grotesque discrimination against gay people, encouraging having them thrown into prison for life, now reports that he fears for his life because of the violence of LGBT people. He writes, things have changed in recent years. Their man is in the White House. The federal judiciary is now packed with a majority of pro-gay Democrats. They've got the media, academia, Hollywood, the big corporations, the mental health associations, and even the U.S. military under their thumb. Their movement is steamrolling over all political opposition, even in conservative states, despite public opinion. The greater their power, the less they are concerned about hiding the true nature of their agenda or the true face of the LGBT community. Frankly, that dramatically raises the threat level for people like me, because as the gays lose their fear of public opinion, they are increasingly less inclined to restrain the murder that is in their hearts toward their enemies, the chief of whom is now yours truly. It is true that Scott Lively is an enemy of gay people. He is a horrible, vicious, awful excuse for a human being, having gone into Uganda and Russia and helping work to promote the horrible anti-gay laws that have been passed there. He continues, I believe they are now deliberately trying to incite murder against me and every other person on their enemies list. That might have sounded a bit paranoid in years past, but post-Corkins, it is just cold hard fact that some gay activists are incited to murder by inflammatory leftist rhetoric. The HRC knows that, and yet their rhetoric in this exporting hate publication, we're talking about a publication that talks about the kind of horrible, horrific hatred that is coming out of these anti-gay groups. Anyway, I continue. He says that this exporting hate publication is more inflammatory than the SPLC's rhetoric that drove Corkins over the edge. And then he said, I am demanding a retraction and public apology from both HRC, and that's the Human Rights Coalition, and SPLC, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups, of which Scott Lively is basically a one-man hate group. To both of them, I insist, stop inciting hate before you get people killed. Is he so oblivious to the irony of this, the hatred that he spews that has in fact gotten people killed? The hatred that he spews that has gotten people sent to prison, exposing people's vicious, violent, awful rhetoric, is not in itself a violent act. And of the thousands of attacks on gay people, just alone in the United States, you could point to, he can only point to one, a man named Floyd Corkin. He loaded up some guns and went to the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., with the intent to kill as many people there as possible. He pled guilty to committing an act of terrorism while armed, interstate transportation of a firearm and ammunition, and assault with intent to kill while armed. He didn't plead guilty to murder, was he didn't actually murder anyone. As horrible as his actions were, he cannot be used as an example of a gay person killing anti-gay activists. As paranoid as Scott Lively may claim to be right now, the odds of him getting murdered for being an anti-gay activist are much, 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 much less than the odds of him getting murdered for being gay. And part of the reason for that is because of people like Scott Lively and his hatred towards homosexuals.